Just wrapped up a long discussion about the Padres' come-from-behind victory over the Miami Marlins last night. But let's go right out to, I believe, Jackson Hartsfield Airport in Atlanta, Georgia, according to Woods when he was chatting with our next guest, Jake Peavy, Padres ambassador, special assistant to the CEO. You see him on MLB Network. Jake, good morning. It is great to have you back on with Ben and Woods.
Good morning, boys. My apology in advance. You are correct.
You sound great.
You sound fantastic.
Yeah. No, if you hear some boarding calls and cattle calls in the background, I apologize. But enjoying, look, I've been here since the boys were here the past weekend. And
nice.
And stayed around to do the TBS post and pregame for the Braves-Phillies last night. Now up to New Jersey for the network.
And I saw last night Bryce Harper got dotted, 96, gosh. I think, to the elbow. Had to come out of the game. That's his surgically repaired elbow, Peeve. Look, you were a tough, tough pitcher, man. That kind of sucks. Obviously, I don't think there was any intent behind it at all. You have to pitch Bryce Harper inside. When you do something like that, when you're on the mound and you've lived it, there's got to be a twinge of you that says, oh, crap, I didn't want to do that.
No, you don't like it. Sending anybody out of the ball game. You know, there's certainly times where I took pride in throwing it at guys. And I'm telling you right now, if I were on the other team last night, if I were Ranger Suarez, unintentional as it was, you take my best player out of the game and possibly for the series even longer. It's an eye for an eye. I'm letting Austin Riley, Acuna, somebody's eating a fastball because, man, I'm going to tell you, that hit Bryce and fell straight down. I mean, his elbow, and I could just imagine that arm being completely numb. You could see the pain he was in. Not fun. Spencer Strider certainly just hasn't figured out his command just yet. I saw bits and signs of him coming back and being who we know him to be, but command was just an issue last night, and that one got away from him, unfortunately. Thankfully, no broken bones for Bryce.
You know, Jake, we've made some comparisons between the Padres and Phillies. Obviously, they met in that great NLCS in 2022, but two teams that are built to win now, and the Phillies are winning right now. They just had a 9-game winning streak. They actually have the best winning percentage in baseball. Do you see that team as one that could go all the way this year that has the pieces still in place? Is they kind of getting a little older now?
No, they've got to punch their ticket. They've been thinking for the last few years that they have a team to do that. I'm close with a few guys over there, mainly Schwarber. Some of those pitchers have become my buddies, and they're starting to feel that pressure. We just talked about Bryce Harper. If Bryce Harper doesn't win a championship, that is something that's going to eat at him and be around his legacy. I think he knows that. And then you got to go back to Washington. Washington traded him away, sent him packing, when he left the Washington team, that team that was the best in the National League for many years. We beat them in 14 and had no business. That team finally punched through without Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
The year that he leaves, they win with a lot of the same team. That had to hurt him, and it's his turn, he feels like. So you're exactly right. And look, that's why we couldn't get by them a few years ago. They were hungry, but we're tit for tat. Those two teams, like you said, the Padres and the Phillies, are two teams that nobody wants to face in the postseason when we're playing our best baseball.
No question. Talking to the great Jake Peavy here on Ben and Woods this morning. And you know, you guys at MLB Network, I think we here, Ben had them go into the World Series, winning the World Series potentially this year. The Baltimore Orioles, Jake, one of the most interesting stories, I think, in the game of baseball. Can you speak to what that's like to have massive expectations? And look, I realize that it's almost June. These guys are 10 games out of a playoff spot in a division with the Yankees. The Rays are playing decent baseball. You still got the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. Like, it's got to feel like they are underwater right now. And do you think they're going to end up selling off pieces at the deadline, Jake? Or are they going to ride this thing out?
Now, you never know with the front office. You know, they traded for the Trevor Rogers kid in Florida, and he ended up in AAA after they traded Stowers and Norby and top prospects there. They have absolutely botched the last couple trade deadlines, if you ask me, with what they've had there in place playing well. They got to get Woodsy to call me. Who do you think was going to pitch for him all the way to get in the World Series and winning that thing? You know, that was certainly my concerns from the beginning with this team that's played out. Unfortunately, Brandon Hyde just had to bite the bullet.
Yep.
Look, I don't know what Mike Elias and those guys will do. I heard him take a little bit of credit for what's happened there, but they haven't been able to since they've got those kids to the big leagues, and there's been a short stint where Grayson Rodriguez was in there healthy and they had Corbin Burns over there, and you're like, all right, they can make a run. Other than that, they just simply haven't had the pitching that anybody believed was a threat when you get in the postseason.
And when you're like, when you're the Marlins, who we played last night, and you've got some good young scrappy talent, you got some good young arms. When you're the White Sox, not a lot of expectations. Going to the ballpark has got to feel different. Like, hey man, there's really no pressure. I want to stay here. I want to compete. We want to, you know, be spoilers. When you're the Baltimore Orioles, a lot of people picked you to finish first, and now you know you're sitting there with 19 wins. You're 10 games out. How hard is that to go to the ballpark after you realize we've just kind of blew everybody's expectations up?
Well, you know, it's hard, but then again, I think these kids are you know, certainly I think Stowers and some of the guys that are over there playing every day would like to be on a better team.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're in the big leagues getting a chance to play where they might not elsewhere. I'll tell you what, I like to pitch in Chicago. Chicago White Sox can flat out pitch. They're starting to figure out some players. You see playing the Mets tough last night. Will Venable's got that bunch turned around. Chris Getz and company over there. Josh Barfield, our good buddy. They have a nice thing going and building. Miami, a lot of talent. I'm just not sure Miami's strategy. I'm telling you, you guys watching this game last night, yep. Miami Marlins were down 2 runs to start the ninth inning, which means the first run doesn't mean anything. First batter. How he's not taking a strike right there, I have no idea. I say, you know, I'm serious. So off Estrada, first batter goes 1-0. He swung at a ball in the dirt the next pitch to make it 1-1. Estrada threw 2 more balls after that. Would have been ball 4 if he's taking a strike. And so I'm not sure what the messaging is and what type of baseball Miami's trying to play. They're supposedly as analytically evolved as anybody.
Yeah.
I need to see some baseball IQ and awareness. That was little to none. I'm going to call it terrible baseball.
Jake, let's talk about the Padres' starting pitching staff, because obviously, you know, they haven't had Yu Darvish all season. Now Michael King is on the injured list. Nick Pivetta has been just one of the best signings, you know, late in the offseason. But guys like Randy Vasquez and Stephen Kolek continue to step up. Philosophically, I mean, Ruben, I mean, you've seen now inside the organization. What is it that is making these guys successful collectively, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's a group effort for sure. It certainly starts with each one of these guys, Randy Vasquez and Pollock, understanding that they wanted to take steps forward this year, were challenged to by the staff. Both have answered the bell, especially Randy. The outing last night from Pollock tells you everything you need to know about the kid. To put your ego aside after that tough inning and go back to work and do what he did. Bullpen was tough as nails again last night. But it starts, like I said, those guys taking accountability. Ruben is as good of a pitching mind as I've been around, truly, guys. I'm jealous that I didn't have him around in playing days. Darren Balls, he was as good as it gets, but the pitch doctor, as Mud calls him, and that he is, watching him work and get the best out of the guys, understanding what they do well, taking them over there to the lab. That was all happening out in Camp 44. And all of that stuff has paid off. So credit to the staff. Fitzy and Ruben are as good of pitching as it comes. We've got a good ballpark to pitch in. I think that instills confidence in the guys. But, again, it goes back to those guys taking accountability, becoming better.
How much pressure is it on guys like Cease and King, knowing that they're going into free agency as a pitcher? You got to try to stay healthy, but you also want to impress everybody because you're trying to, you know, pitch for a contract, probably your biggest one that you're ever going to get.
And you want to win.
Yeah, and you want to win. What's that feeling like for aces like those guys?
You know, I think probably Michael's a little upset that he had to miss some time here. You know, hopefully it's nothing serious and truly just slept on it wrong to make sure that he's healthy for the run and not push anything early in the season. You know, Dylan, I talked to him after Sunday. He feels like he's 1 or 2 pitches every start away from being really good and back to where he wants to be on a consistent basis. I don't think either one of these guys, I know them pretty well now, talking with them, they're not stressed. These boys are both about to see more money than all of us will in our lifetime, no matter how this season plays
so
out.
So true.
You know, and so I think both of them understand their value. Dylan and both of them's body of work is now going to get them paid. Hopefully At least one of them, if not both of them, stay around.
It's so hard to imagine this team without either of those guys, Peeve. I know you got to catch a flight, man. I know you got a long day ahead of you. We really appreciate your time. The family, family doing well?
Family is doing well. And I'll tell you this, our Padre family is doing well. It was an absolute blast being with them, being back around like we talked about last time.
Yeah.
It's really got me charged up. It feels great to be a part of the organization again. And it's keeping me up late on the East Coast having to watch all these games.
I know.
Killing my sleep, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I love it.
Well, I don't think you sleep much anyway. You're Jake Peavy. I've seen you in action, bro. I mean, I think you're fine. Yeah, you're good.
You going to get back out here to the West Coast anytime soon?
Yeah, I won't be back out until the 1st of July. Okay. Yeah, I got to spend this month back on the East Coast, but I'll be back out the 1st of July and throughout the rest of the season.
All right, hit us up.
Get us in the playoffs and hopefully punch through.
Hit us up when you get back, and we will go do something or go check out a game or have you in or something, man. We appreciate your time this morning.
Same to you, boys. All right. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks,
Padres Hall of Famer Jake Peavy. Always appreciate when he can spend a few minutes with us. Brings enthusiasm, knowledge, it's just insight. He's always great, especially talking about pitchers. And he's right. Dylan Cease and Michael King could both really kind of fall off the map the second half of the season. It's not going to cost them that much. They are both going to be desirable commodities this offseason.
I mean, I think in the world that we all live in, yeah, man, your performance is down or off. They use it against you. In baseball, they're like, doesn't matter. I mean, look at the body of work. Look at the stuff. Look at whatever. But yeah, like Peeve said, both of those guys are going to get paid really regardless of how. Sandy Alcantara has had a terrible year, Ben. The guy's going to get paid. You know what I mean?
Guy's a trade chip still.
Right.
I mean, he's got an ERA over 8.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you.
Oh, people are salivating.
There are
for
teams
him.
And GMs that are calling about him every single day going, hey, guaranteed. you ready to trade him?
Yeah. Is today the day? Is today the day?
And the Marlins are rightfully going, yes, but we're not you don't get a discount for an 8 ERA. He's still Sandy Alcantara.
That's right.
So you're paying full price. So it doesn't matter what the recent results have looked like. And the other GMs are like, yeah, you're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been at serious bidding war against other teams who are going to want this guy. So
no question. And I think there's probably 10 pitching coaches around the league that go, oh, I know exactly what's wrong with him. I know exactly how I can fix Sandy Alcantara.
It's probably just the normal coming back from long-term surgery. It's not an instant return.
No.
And, you know, worry about that with Joe Musgrove.
No
doubt. How long will it take him? You know, he'll have the advantage, likely won't pitch this season, so he'll have that extra 6 months before he even has to really throw a real pitch in a game that could help him speed up that process of getting back to being Joe Musgrove.
Right.
When he's, you know, guys who come back in 12 months, they're just not quite the same for a few months, but they want to get back because it's the middle of the season and they get a chance to pitch. Joe will have those extra months to probably really feel locked in. Camp 44 again, spring training, and hopefully, you know, when he takes the mound, it'll be a little closer to Joe Musgrove like next season.
Speaking of one, Joe Musgrove.
Really?
How about this that I got last night? I sent it to you and Paulie. I got a DM, one of my several hundred DMs being at the game last night. And a guy named G said, yo, have you stopped by the Authentica store lately? Last week, I saw they had Joe's personal locker clothes for sale. Oh, that's pretty cool. He said his Ben and Wood shirt was there for sale. Anyway.
So this is at Petco Park, one of the...
Yeah, there's like a little... There's like a
kiosk.
Like
almost.
A little kiosk that has, this is Jake Cronenworth's game-used batting gloves. You can go buy those. So they took... these are the clothes from Joe Musgrove's locker, and you can buy them.
Like a garage sale.
Yeah,
almost.
Like a garage sale. He said, anyway, you should go buy it or just take it since it's yours anyway. I said, no way. And he goes, oh, yeah. I go, how much is it? It's like $50. I'm like, all right, next, if somebody's at Petco, go buy me that shirt that's mine anyway that I gave out of the goodness of my heart to the great Joe Musgrove.
I mean, you can buy your own Ben and Wood shirt on our merch store.
You could. It won't cost you $50.
Look through our link tree. You're going to find it. It won't cost you as much, but it won't have spent time in Joe Musgrove's locker. Now, did he ever put it on?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I doubt it.
Just sat in his locker, and then he said, I need to clean some of this stuff out. But instead of throwing it away, the Padres are go,
Don't sell it.
Don't throw it away. We'll sell anything that's in your locker at the Authentic store.
Can I send an NDA to the Padres, or a cease and desist to the Padres for selling my merch without my consent here? I don't know, but...
Without the express, written, authorized consent of Ben and Woods,
like,
you can't resell our merch.
I love Joe, and Joe, I thought, loved us, and now I'm like, huh... Like, take it home and clean your car with it. I don't care. You don't throw it up in the merch store. His mom's going to DM me any second. She listens every single day.
We're doing our part to help finance the team.
So good.
With our merch.
Nate says, what a dig from Joe. I know. That's how I feel. But my heart was broken a little bit. You didn't have to wear it. I just gave it to you. I didn't think you were going to sell it for extra cash.
Does he see any of that? Or
I don't know.
Is he getting a percentage? How does this work?
I got to give him grief the next time I see him. Now that I know that, I'm going to be like, huh, how's your shirt? Where is
it? We didn't give it to the Padres.
No!
We gave it to Joe personally.
Hey, where's your shirt? Do this bit. How you doing? Oh, I'm good, man. You doing good? Yeah, everything's good. See, your locker's full. Where's your Ben and Woods shirt?
And then he goes, I took it home, or I've got it. I love that.
I love that shirt.
I wear it at home all the time.
Yeah, I wear it when I walk my dogs and go down to the beach. You're lying! Lie to me. You understand? Yeah, crazy, Junior says it. Crazy, it gains
value. Is that
value.
Worse than re-gifting it to someone else?
Selling it? Yes! Or giving it to somebody else and they sell it? Broke my heart. Well, you wears his every day, apparently. He says it's the most comfortable shirt he's ever owned.
Dude, it's crazy that it's gained value. It doesn't cost that much from our merch store. Maybe if we could we should take all of our merch, put it in lockers, and then take it back and then resell it for a higher price. You know, we can actually increase the value.
Oh, Joe got us real good. No, now we know. Now we know it's good to know where your relationship is with someone.
I think you just burned one of our don't do this items ahead of our next segment.
I could have, yeah.
Could have given Joe a don't do this. I got a don't do this for you involving someone who was an absolute icon when we were about 9 years old, Woods.
Yeah.
Was in the news this week. So we get to don't do this coming up in our next segment. Don't go away, though. We got more Ben and Woods on the way. We'll talk more about the rest of baseball, what's going on, and a big day, decision day for Miles Byrd in the NBA draft, San Diego State. Where is he leaning?
Yeah.
Which way he's going? Staying in the draft or returning to the Aztecs next season? Talk about that all coming up with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust Your Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. All right. Apparently, I'm not quite with it, so Woods, why don't you get us started?
I will get us going here. Odd, disturbing story. Police in Hawaii say that MMA legend BJ Penn, very famous MMA legend, was arrested over the weekend, not once, but twice, over multiple incidents that he had with a 79-year-old woman. I don't think that's a fair fight with BJ Penn and a 79-year-old woman. But the first encounter he had with the elderly lady went down on Sunday. He took her mail and then shined a bright flashlight in her eyes when she asked for the mail to be returned. They said she was later shoved against a car by BJ Penn as she attempted to move the light away from her eyes. He was arrested over the allegations, booked on a charge of abuse of family or household member. Then they let him out after he posted bond.
Family or household member. So he's related to the woman.
Potentially. That may be
like
just something.
Grandma.
Potentially. And he said, hey, listen, you're out on bond. Stay away, you know, obviously. But he, hours later, went back, showed up to the 79-year-old woman's home again, led to another arrest, and then posted these weird videos on Instagram of him being dragged out of bed by the police and, again, was arrested for harassment. He did write, fake Lorraine Shin. Imposter identity thief, 80 years old, my ass. That was the caption of his video. I have no earthly idea what is going on with BJ Penn.
This is as odd as it gets.
And you wonder, like, all right, clearly we're not playing with, you know, all of our cards here, right now. But yeah, he was arrested again. So he's going to be in a little bit of, deep trouble. BJ Penn, MMA legend.
All right. This is a story that's just kind of sad. America's Sweetheart, if you remember from the 1980s. 1984 Olympic gold medal hero, Mary Lou Retton, has hit some hard times in the last couple of years. Had a brush with death back in 2023, like a severe case of, I think, like pneumonia or something that had her hospitalized and left like scarring on her lungs. She did recover, but now this weekend, Mary Lou Retton was arrested on suspicion of DUI in West Virginia. Some details now coming out from the case. According to local news outlet WDTV, court records state authorities got a call about a Porsche driving all over the roadway. Oof. They then apprehended Retton in the parking lot of an auto zone not far away from where the call came in Marion County, West Virginia. Responding officers claim that Retton smelled like alcohol and spoke with slurred speech. They noticed a screw-top bottle of wine in the passenger seat of her vehicle. We'll let the court system play out on this one, but I think it's hard to, if you're younger than, say, our age, like if you're younger than 40, how big Mary Lou Retton was in the 1980s. I mean, massive. She was maybe the biggest sports star we had in America for a period of a few years after she won the gold medal with her vault, landing at perfect 10. I mean, it was like America's Sweetheart story.
Yeah, she's not one that, you know, addiction, problems, everybody has them, right? Everybody has them. Nobody is immune to those demons, certainly, right? But I'm glad she didn't hurt anyone for this. But then, you know, you think, like, if you gave me a list of people that would get arrested for DUI, she'd be, like, close to the bottom of it.
I mean, just, you know.
Just doesn't seem like the type, right?
Cute as a button. She's Mary Lou Retton.
Oh, I could tell
she's
Ben, Mary Lou Retton. Ben had a little crush
Everyone
on her
had
back
a little crush
in the day.
On Mary Lou Retton.
I didn't like her hair, I'll be honest, when I was a kid. I didn't like the bell cut.
Yeah.
I was not a big fan of it. But I certainly appreciated her greatness, to be sure.
I mean, when you have to get a perfect 10 to nail a vault, and you're just tumbling over that. I mean, what an incredible moment that was. I still remember that from 1984.
No doubt. No doubt. We were 9 years old. All right, let's get to some doo-doo this. This is a good
DD mega doo-doo.
Well, congratulations to world champion competitive eater Joey Chestnut. This may be the most impressive one he's done.
Now, I think so.
He's eaten a billion hot dogs, and you know, we know all the stuff that he's accomplished. He's a multiple Guinness Book of World Records holder. I thought he retired from competitive eating, or maybe it's just from the hot dog contest. This one is almost impossible. He crushed his own world record of eating buttered popcorn. He downed 42 servings of buttered popcorn out of a, you know, like a movie theater tub. 42 servings in, by the way, 8 minutes.
See, now I can crush one of those tubs over the course of an entire movie, but I can't eat popcorn fast.
No one can. It gets all the...
Yeah, it would be so hard to eat popcorn quickly.
The only way you could do it is if you poured water all over it, let it sit and soak like cereal, and then just down the bowl to where it was like liquid. Because the kernels and the little flecks,
the skin of the kernels gets on there is the worst.
It gets caught in your throat.
I'm surprised he even tried this again, because reportedly the last time he tried for the record with popcorn,
almost died,
cracked a tooth, because he got a seed. And you're trying to eat so fast, you don't even realize there's a seed in there, and you go, you're chomping it down, and all of a sudden you hit one of those popcorn seeds. It's the worst.
So he said his strategy is chugging water with every swallow to help the popcorn go down. Yeah, you got to have the water.
A lot of water.
40.
But the water fills you up, so you can't drink too much water as you're trying to consume all the popcorn.
He's beaten his own world record twice. He had 32 servings, 20 up from 28, and now he's at 42 things of popcorn in 8 minutes.
I try to imagine, like, what's the most enjoyable record?
Yeah.
But I don't think there is. I don't think any of it's fun. I think it's all, it all is bad.
That's a banana pudding from Petco Park would be. I'll certainly die trying if they want to try this. What is the best one? What is the best?
I mean, after like two or three hot dogs, it's got to be a.
It's repulsive.
It's got to be repulsive.
I can
popcorn
eat
popcorn would be horrible.
I can eat shrimp cocktail and deviled eggs in a pretty ungodly amount. Both of those things I really love. But I mean, I could eat 20 big shrimp. That's an oxymoron. 20 jumbo shrimp.
He owns records: chicken wings, pulled pork sandwiches,
oh my God,
Taco Bell soft tacos, crystal hamburgers, meat pies, eggs. Hard-boiled eggs.
People in the chat saying ice cream? No. There's no chance your brain would explode.
Pork ribs, corned beef sandwiches, ooh, apple pie, Philly cheesesteaks, funnel cake, fish tacos, traditional tacos, mutton sandwiches, jalapeno
poppers.
What's
the record there? One?
Mutton sandwiches?
I'm going to beat my world record. I mean, 1.5.
81 4-ounce sandwiches in 10 minutes.
There's no way.
I mean, that's a small slider.
It's a small slider, but it's
81
mutton.
81 of them.
Hey, by the way, what is mutton?
It's lamb.
It's like, it's sheep?
It's like, yeah, adult lamb. Sheep. Mutton.
Adult? Like X-rated? What do you mean, adult
it's grown
lamb?
Up lamb. It's
what
sheep.
Is, do people
it's sheep.
Do people eat baby lamb?
Yeah.
Well, what do they call
lamb
that?
Lamb is baby lamb. That's,
oh, lamb, that is,
lamb
a baby
is a baby sheep.
That's right. That makes sense.
It's shrimp wontons. I don't even know what a horseshoe sandwich is. I mean, he's got like 52 or more records.
What is he? I can eat a lot of junior mints. I love junior mints.
I like junior mints, too.
I could get three boxes down right now. Three. Easily. Wouldn't even flinch.
You always feel like there's not quite enough in one box.
There's never been enough junior mints in one box. Ever.
You always get to the end and you go,
what else could I eat?
I just wish there was a few more junior mints in there.
What else could I eat a lot of? What would be your favorite thing to try? Not that you think you could win, but like,
no,
hey,
but
man,
like,
I love this.
I would at least try.
I would try to break the record.
That's a good question. Oreos, maybe?
Really?
Oh, I like Oreos.
Do you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I couldn't do it. I think shrimp. I'm like George Costanza, dude. I get after it. I buy at Lazy Acres, like, just the tub of, like, shrimp and shrimp cocktail. I eat them myself. There's like 14 of them in there.
Chris Ella once did California roll sushi.
Oh,
I don't think he quite made it. He was trying to eat, like...
Like 100 pieces or
yeah,
something?
Like 100 pieces.
No way. Banana pudding, it would be mine. That's it. Thank you.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we'll come back. We can talk a little more baseball around the league from yesterday. Plus, it is a match day for San Diego FC. Did you realize that?
I totally did not.
Not realize that? Yeah, they got a match tonight, so we can talk a little bit more about SDFC. Some fallout from their brawl as well. Again, an update there for you all coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, it is a match day, Woods, for SDFC. They are on the road. One of the, I think it's just their second midweek game, playing at the Seattle Sounders tonight. 5:30 kickoff up there at Lumen Field. They always get big attendance numbers for Seattle, one of the flagship franchises of Major League Soccer.
I was going to say, they've been around a long time. Yeah,
yeah. They've been, if they're not one of the originals, definitely one of the early ones. A lot of success up there in Seattle. But SDFC, actually, one of their more impressive wins in early April, they shut out Seattle 3-0 at Snapdragon Stadium. And Seattle's not a bad team. They've got 23 points in the standings. SDFC is at 27 in second place behind
Vancouver,
who's been really good. They're like number one in the power rankings. So like this week's SI power rankings has SDFC at like number three in the league.
Nice.
So, you know, they're now viewed as a championship contender, and they're trying to complete what would be an unbeaten month of May. They've played 5 matches. They've won 4. And they tied one of them, so they're 4-0-1.
We call it a draw.
A draw, yeah. It was a tie.
We call it a draw.
They drawed one of them. Well, I don't think you say they drawed one.
They drew.
They drew a match? Yeah. They tied. Scoreless draw against Sporting KC.
Well, dude, they're on the bit of a gauntlet, right? Because they had a midweek game Then they had the weekend game, and then they have Seattle today, and then they play
Austin on Saturday,
yeah. And then they get a couple of weeks off.
Well, then it's the FIFA break. So you've it's got the Gold Cup and the international.
The guys will go play.
Yeah. International, you know, Chucky and Anders and Luca De La Torre all called up to their national squad.
Nice.
So they take a bit of a break. I think you do sometimes miss games with some of those guys as well, but you don't want to miss too many, so they take a little hiatus during the season. So cramming in a couple of more games before they do that, trying to keep their momentum going with two more games this week. But they also, there's some more details that have come out of the big brawl that happened Saturday at Snapdragon Stadium.
Got a couple DMs about it yesterday after we talked about it on the show.
So I was reading the story. Mark Ziegler wrote it in the UT. And Frankie, you were at the game. You were watching it on Saturday. So during the game, there really weren't any incidents to report. They had extra security that was around the LA Galaxy fans.
Yep.
And that worked during the game. They were kind of cordoned off in their own section. But then once the game ended, that's when the problem started. So apparently, way back, first match of the season, when San Diego FC went up to Carson and beat the LA Galaxy, one of the SD like rooting sections had brought their like club flag. It's like a Bob Marley flag.
Yes.
And it got stolen at the game. Like, and they go, someone stole our flag. And, you know, so, and then at the end of the game, after SDFC beat LA Galaxy this weekend, the guys who stole the flag unfurled it and, like, hung it upside down, like, hey, we've got your flag. We stole it. And that kind of incited some anger, obviously, from the SDFC fan club who had their flag stolen back earlier in the season and then having it rubbed in their faces after their team had just won again. And that was apparently one of the instigating incidents that led to the brawl after the game at Snapdragon Stadium.
Yeah, it was from the Dago Boys support group, and then they put on Instagram after. It says, our Barra has several leaders which hold the group to a certain standard of support in our stand, but also protect our youth from possible danger. The Barra and its leaders do not condone any form of violence. Every match day we turn our focus to throwing a party in the stands and only that. And then there's some comments in there. They were brawling over a stolen flag. Keep your word and ban them. They've given the franchise a black eye, created a dangerous situation for everyone else. Yeah, they're talking about finding out, you know, who some of the instigators and participants and banning them.
Tom Penn, the CEO of SDFC, says, yeah, it takes a while to specifically identify the aggressors. They're in that process. They said they're not a legal authority, but we control who comes into our games. And he says, quote, we intend to ban for an extended period of time the folks who most warrant it. It can be anything from multiple games to permanently.
Mm.
But they obviously want to make sure they identify everyone correctly, and they will hopefully then keep the troublemakers out of future matches.
Yeah, you know, and you obviously you want the focus on the product on the field, you know, not what is happening in the stands after a game, supporter group flags and things of that nature. It is kind of the nature of sports. I don't purport to understand it necessarily of you know, that entire culture. I've never been a part of it. I've been to went to the bar the one time to watch a match and was blown away. I mean, blown away with the chants and the people that are just, they're so into it. I don't pretend to understand exactly what it entails. So I don't want to be ignorant when I speak about it. So I'm not going to. But I do think, you know, again, the product on the field is outstanding this year. It's outstanding, and it has really done a lot to captivate San Diego and get casuals involved in the sport, like myself. When you told me there was a game tonight, I went and checked, 5:30, it's on. I have the package. I paid for the package. Padres are on early. SDFC's on tonight.
Yep.
Now I know what I'm doing tonight. And that's not something I would have said, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, for sure. But keeping the product the news and the attention, the eyes on the Dryers and the Lozanos and guys like that, that's really what's important.
And the good news is, though, at least as far as the Galaxy are concerned, because of the way soccer schedules are, they play reverse fixtures. So you play one at their home, one at ours. So you're done facing the LA Galaxy this year. And the only other time you play an LA team is LAFC, and that's
at their
house. Yeah, and that's up north.
Yeah,
so
be careful.
You won't see them again this year.
All right, and we'll have more on SDFC. Darren Smith will join us on Friday for his weekly segment talking about the team.
And I'm sure Darren's tired of talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, he loves the game.
Well, we'll have another game to talk about and a game to preview as well, so a lot to get to. We'll check traffic. A bit of a shakeup in the NL West standings the last couple of days. Get you updated on what's been going on in the Padres division next here on 97.3 The Fan. That was just a few days ago. The Padres were dipping in the standings. They were closer to fourth than they were first. But all of a sudden, as you wake up this morning and take a look at the NL West standings, the Dodgers still lead. They're 34-21. They won again last night. Shohei Ohtani is now hot again.
I'd say
third straight day with a home run, is 20th of the season. They beat the Guardians 9-5. The Padres have moved back into sole possession of second place at 31-22, thanks to their three straight wins. First three-game winning streak since that six-gamer at the beginning of May. The Giants have dropped back. Now, they're playing a tough team. They lost to the Tigers again yesterday, 3-1. Jack Flaherty held them to just two hits, struck out eight in six strong innings as they beat the Giants for a second straight day. And the Diamondbacks continue to just... I keep expecting the Diamondbacks to get going here, and they didn't. And last night might have been one of their worst losses of the season. They were up, I think, 6-0 at one point, just like the Miami Marlins were. And they were still up 6-2, I believe, going into the top of the eighth inning, hosting the Pittsburgh Pirates, last place team. And the Pirates scored seven runs in the top of the eighth inning, including a tie-breaking three-run home run by Brian Reynolds, as they came back to beat the Diamondbacks 9-6, and shocked that team that was looking to move back above 500. Now they're a game under 500 and seven games back in the NL West.
That is a tough L, a very, very tough L to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Yeah, man, Ben, they're at least their record is a very mid team, man. They are 14-14 at home. They are 13-14 away. They're just kind of stuck there in the middle. And, you know, you look at it, I don't know what happened in the game last night. Just a complete and total bullpen implosion.
Well, the bullpen's been,
it's been bad.
It's been an issue. Yeah. They sent Manaply down.
Yep. Brought him back
They've
up.
Had some injuries. They really have not been able to figure out the bullpen. It's been torturing him so far.
When I watched them play a week or so ago, they were on, and I tuned into the game, and I looked at their lineup and I went, God dang, man, these guys are scrappy. They are scrappy, and you can see, if you know, Corbin Carroll's really, really playing great, Ketel Marte, they have a really strong, kind of terrifying lineup. You don't want these guys to get going. You want one of these teams, Ben, either the Giants or the Diamondbacks, to just fall off the map.
I mean, Corbin Carroll has 16 homers, 2.1 WAR. Eugenio Suarez has 15 homers. Geraldo Perdomo actually leads their team in WAR at 2.5. And Ketel Marte is probably their best player. He was hurt for some of the season, but they have really solid four in the lineup. You know, the pitching, I think they expected more, you know, out of their starters, especially, I mean, with Zach Gallen, Corbin Burns, and Merrill Kelly now. But Corbin Burns hasn't quite gotten it completely. I mean, it's a 2.72 ERA, so he's not pitching poorly, but you know, he was on the mound and they just couldn't hold on to the win for him. So I don't know if they feel like they're going to turn it around and go on a run at some point, but it's going to be hard to do in the division that they play in, because they got a lot of games against the Padres and Dodgers and Giants still. I just don't see any of the teams dominating those series over the course of a season.
Yeah, again, you went into this season as a Padres fan and you went, yeah, okay. Like, my pick was, I didn't think the Giants were going to be around long. But as they do, they hang around and they've got good pitching and they have really good run prevention and they score. They've scored more than the Padres. Their differential is better than the Padres right now, Benny, because they do such a good job at holding teams down. We beat them twice already. I'm going to have a lot more games against those guys. So it's going to get. The juice is going to get really amped up in June, and this is where you can either start to bury a team or bury yourself.
We'll talk more about the playoff, contenders versus pretenders coming up in the second half of Ben and Woods. We'll also play a little take on Woods in our next hour as well. Stick around. Lots more to get to on a Wednesday with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.